Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for spending some time with me tonight. Great to be with you for these evening broadcasts. Well, I just want to spend a few moments with you tonight. We're getting close to the 4th of July, and I wanted to share some thoughts from one of my favorite books. I want to share a couple of special prayers with you as well. But I love to see your comments and where you're from and what you have to say and the prayer intentions you have. You know, many of you are in states where we're making a special effort for the election, and whether it's Florida or Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, many other, all the states are important because we have to, in this election, elect an entire House of Representatives, one-third of the Senate, various governors, state legislators, and of course the president. But we are making special election efforts, and every group focuses its limited resources in certain key areas. And we want you all to know, wherever you live, that if you want to spend some extra time over these next 4 months in devoting your energy to the election, go to prolifevolunteer.com. It's a special sign-up form, and you can let us know a little bit more about yourself and what you might be interested in doing. And then our political outreach team will be in touch with you, and we sometimes have trainings. We have frequent Zoom calls where you're with me and with others on our team, and we talk about resources we can give you to advance the education and mobilization of voters in this election. ProLifeVolunteer.com, ProLifeVolunteer.com. It's a simple sign-up form. Well, let's pray. And being that the 4th of July, Independence Day, is just the day after tomorrow, I have this novena prayer that I wrote that we've been urging people to say over these days. And let's say it together here as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God our Father, your Son, Jesus, spoke to us a message of peace and taught us to live as brothers and sisters. His message took form in the vision of our founding fathers as they fashioned a nation where people might live as one. This message lives on in our midst as a task for us today and a promise for tomorrow. We thank you, Father, for your blessings in the past and for all that with your help we must yet achieve. Bless our nation and bless each of us. As we thank you for our independence, may we extend its blessings to our youngest brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. Hasten the day when our nation will be a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So that's the novena prayer for life, for Independence Day. These special prayer campaigns that we have at various times of the year can be found at prayercampaign.org. Today, I just posted there a special prayer I wrote for President Trump, because in today's daily online mass that we celebrate, we offered the mass for the president. You know, the sacramentary, which is the official book of prayers that priests use as they say mass, has a special set of prayers for praying for the head of state, praying for the president. So I used those prayers today. And it would be a good idea to encourage your priest to use those special prayers too. You know, the sacramentary has mass prayers assigned for each day of the year, but on many of those days, there are other options that the priest can use for special needs, special occasions, special intentions. And one of them, as I say, is for the president. And that's the mass that we used today. If you didn't see my mass today, you can see it posted on the various platforms where you're watching now, or our YouTube channel, Fr. Frank Pavone. Same address for our Twitter and Instagram accounts. So I want to share a book with you. I'm going to say that prayer, by the way, before we finish tonight, the special prayer for our president. We'll conclude with that before I give you the blessing later on. But one of my friends and colleagues in this pro-life, pro-family, pro-America movement is David Barton, a well-known historian. It's incredible how David not only has researched the history of our founding fathers and our country, but has in his possession an incredible amount of original documents written by the founders. So when he gives a presentation, it's really fascinating. And but he wrote a book some years ago called Original Intent. And I want to recommend this book to you as some good 4th of July season reading and also election season reading. Original Intent by David Barton. The subtitle is The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. And he shows how religion has been pushed out of our public life through the courts, and that this was not the intention, hence the name Original Intent, this was not the intention of our founding fathers. In fact, very much the opposite. They were men of faith, and they understood that this great country that they were founding could not succeed without religion and morality, that the people could not govern themselves without being anchored in the sure knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, and that the sure knowledge of what is right and what is wrong and the grace to stay on that path comes from religion. It's based on the Word of God. The Word of God was the source most frequently used by our founders as they crafted the founding documents of this nation. Well, I just want to look at two quick sections here with you, just very briefly. He has, and in all of these topics, he's quoting these founding fathers profusely, and he has a lot of the original documents. America's first governments and America's founding of the educational system. Just a few quotes from each of these areas, because it's really fascinating to see how our founding fathers were grounded in the faith. So we have, you remember studying in school about the fundamental orders of Connecticut? This was the first constitution written in the United States, a direct antecedent of our current federal constitution. And the fundamental orders of Connecticut explain why the document was created in the first place, and listen how it explains it. Well knowing when a people are gathered together, the word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of such a people, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God. Amazing. And that constitution next declared the colonists' desire to, quote, enter into combination and confederation together to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we now profess, which according to the truth of the said gospel is now practiced among us. The first constitution in the United States. Again, the book we're quoting from is Original Intent by David Barton. I really encourage you to pick this up and read through it, study it. 1643, the colonies of Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Plymouth, and New Haven joined together to form America's first united government, which was called the New England Confederation. Now, these colonies banded together, and they explained in that document that the reason was they all had similar goals in coming to this part of the world. Listen to what they said. We all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. To advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our founding fathers were more explicitly religious than a good number of our clergy are today, as secularism has so infected our culture. Let's look a little bit at the founding of education in America. Do you know what was the motive for the American push for literacy? That people would be able to read the Word of God. In 1690, Connecticut law declared the following. This legislature, observing there are many persons unable to read the English tongue and thereby incapable of reading the holy word of God or the good laws of this colony, it is ordered that all parents and masters shall cause their respective children and servants, as they are capable, to be taught to read distinctly the English language. Now, Christianity and education were inseparable in the minds of these founders, both of our country and its educational system. Let me read for you a quote from the Rules of Harvard back in 1636. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3. And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him, according to Proverbs 2:3. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. Amazing. Yale was founded in 1699. You know who founded it? 10 ministers. In order, they said, quote, to plant and under the divine blessing to propagate in this wilderness the blessed reformed Christian religion. So, you know, I mean, it's something that, I mean, this whole book is filled with the original sources, the original quotations, the original philosophy and worldview of these founders that are signers of our Declaration, signers of our Constitution, people whose efforts, whose vision, whose commitment we are getting ready as a country to celebrate the day after tomorrow. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It's one that we should all enter into with great vigor. We'll be having Mass here, and we'll be celebrating the meaning of Independence Day. And you know, for the founders, independence, well, of course, it was independence from the king over in Great Britain, but it was a celebration of dependence on God. Because what they wanted independence for was to be able to worship him freely according to their conscience, with the protection of the state, but not its interference, not its hindrance. The protection of the state, as the Declaration of Independence says, was for the purpose of securing the rights that God Almighty had given to the people, to secure those rights, not to give them, not to take them away, not to dilute them, not to edit them, not to delete them, not to change them. Governments are instituted to secure these rights. What rights did they mention in the Declaration? The first is life. Because without that, we can't have any of the others. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then, of course, in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights was then written, and many, many other rights were indicated. But God-given rights were what they were talking about, and governments being instituted to secure and protect those rights. Somebody who also believes that is our current president, President Trump. And you know, one of my favorite lines that he often articulates in his speeches, he says, faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the American way. We don't put our faith in government, he says, but in God. You know, I quoted a personal a comment that he had made to a pastor early in his presidency. I mentioned it in the homily today, and the pastor asked the president, what do you most want to be remembered for? Do you know what President Trump said in answer to that question? I want to be remembered as the president who prayed more than any other. The president who prayed more than any other. Would you expect that that would be his answer? Would you expect to see that in any headlines or news reports? We people of faith have something very, very big to be grateful for. That the founders of this country and the current leader of this country were people of faith who set their hopes not on the power of government, who set their hopes not on the power of bureaucracy, but rather on the power of God, faith, family, religion. Why do you think the president defends so strongly the freedom of religion? Well, it's very simple. Our founding fathers understood it too. When religion flourishes among the people, when they are freely able to exercise it, when they are freely able to proclaim the gospel and teach the faith and hand on Christian values, they do a better job governing themselves. They do a better job shaping public policy because the policy is shaped according to the values that teach us what's really good for the human person, what's good for the family, what's good for our children, what's good for morality, what's good for our future. Let religion flourish, and government is more secure. Again, the president's line, faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the American way. We trust in God, not in government. You take a book like Original Intent, you take a historian like David Barton, you read the words in the documents of our founders, you see exactly the same concept. So again, I encourage you to get it. I encourage you to look these kinds of things up as we prepare to celebrate Independence Day in a renewed vigor, in a renewed understanding, and with renewed determination to make a difference in this year's election. So I told you I offered the Mass today for the president. I wrote a special prayer. I actually wrote it early this morning, which is now on our website, prayercampaign.org. May I say this prayer with you and invite you to say it in your heart along with me, and then invite you to say it all the time by going over there to prayercampaign.org. Let us pray for our president. Almighty God, you are the ruler of nations, and in your providence you guide the course of world events. In your wisdom you have established civil authority, and have given us the freedom to elect our leaders. Your Son, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has instructed us to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Your word furthermore instructs us to pray for all in authority, that we may lead peaceful and tranquil lives in all godliness and devotion. We ask you therefore to bless and protect all who govern us. We pray not only that they will walk in the way of salvation, but that their decisions and policies may protect us, our nation, our families, and our future. In particular, bless our duly elected President Donald J. Trump. Give him holy wisdom. Surround him with your angels of protection, and provide him the strength to carry out his duties every day. Enable him to fulfill his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Grant that by his decisions, he may protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Thank you for all the good you have accomplished through his service. Confirm him in his intention to eliminate corruption from the seat of power in Washington, to secure the borders and strengthen the military of our nation, to frustrate those who plan terrorist attacks on our homeland, to foster law and order in our communities, to protect our citizens from the current pandemic, to restore and strengthen our economy, to promote honesty and fairness in our trade agreements, to appoint to our courts judges who will faithfully apply our Constitution and laws as they are written, to defend the lives of the unborn from the violence of abortion, to improve our healthcare system, to properly care for our veterans, to defend the sacred heritage and safety of Israel and the good of all our allies, and to promote and defend the freedom of all citizens in the United States and throughout the world to live according to their religious beliefs. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to our president that he may glorify you in every success and find consolation from you in every sorrow. Protect his family, guide his advisors, and enable his administration to accomplish today those things that will secure the physical and moral strength of our nation for our children and grandchildren. Father, we trust in your providence, which from its founding has guided and blessed the United States of America. Grant that this trust may grow and be rewarded as we live our calling to be good citizens on earth and faithful citizens of your heavenly kingdom. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And you know, in those various lines in the prayer where I said, confirm his intention to do these various things, you know, he has been doing every one of them and succeeding in ways that transcend the accomplishments of any of the previous administrations. It seems that God has given him and his team a particular grace, a particular gift to be able to get things done. How many times he tells us, like with the VA choice policy, where veterans, instead of waiting for medical care that, you know, it may be too late to really help them, can go to a private doctor and get the care they need right away, and then the government takes care of the bill. I mean, it's a simple concept. And he says, well, you know, other administrations have been talking about it for decades. We got it done. Criminal justice reform, the same thing. Destroying terrorism around the world. I mean, over and over again, economic accomplishments, trade deal accomplishments. If you study the accomplishments of this president in the last 3.5 years, you'd be amazed if you study them, the facts. Don't get carried away with the rhetoric or the blame games or the hatred or the Trump derangement syndrome or the rash judgment. There's a lot of negativity out there about our president, but when you push all that aside and with the eyes and with the mind of the spirit and honesty and charity and clarity, you see what's been accomplished, you'll be amazed. And you'll be able to amaze others too. Because this is so important in these months now leading up to the election. Tomorrow is July 3rd, August 3rd, September 3rd, October 3rd, November 3rd. Tomorrow is 4 months exactly to the election, 125 days. We've got to get busy. And that's why, as I said at the outset, if you want to help me and help our team, there's a lot of groups doing a lot of things. And we can connect you with all of them. And we'll do trainings and we'll give you messages to convey and things to do, information to spread. ProLifeVolunteer.com. Okay, so are there any particular questions that any of you have? I can deal with a few of your questions. I see Denise talking about Pope Benedict's brother, George, and we are sad about that. We pray for his eternal repose. It was beautiful to see the two of them together. I'm sure you've seen many of the photos of Pope Benedict and his brother George Ratzinger. He's now in heaven, and we commend him to the Lord, and we ask the Lord to give comfort and consolation to Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI on the loss of his brother. Let's see. Many of you are giving words of encouragement, and Cheryl saying 123 more days before we vote for President Trump again. That's right. What a great election it was last time, and we got to do it again, and we will be able to do it again, all of us united together and working together to bring, you know, we each have one vote, but as I always say, we can influence hundreds of votes, and that's the name of the game. We know how we're going to vote, but what we can do to influence all the other votes, and then we can encourage others that they have the opportunity to influence many, many other votes. That's how we win. That's how we win. The polls, and these are the things the polls can't take account of. You know, you look at polls and you have to ask, first of all, what did they ask and how did they ask it? But secondly, whom did they ask? National polls, just of adults, they really don't mean anything in terms of predicting the outcome of an election. When you see polls that say, well, they ask likely voters, well, that's a little bit better. You know, you got to ask likely voters, but notice what that word says, likely. In other words, we don't know. Chances are these people will vote, but then there's a chance that they won't. Every poll relies on predictions. Built into a poll is a prediction. It's a model. It uses models. It uses methodologies. It looks at the past and to a certain extent tries to predict the future. That's why the polls were so terribly wrong 4 years ago, not terrible in the outcome because the president won and Hillary didn't. But if you go back online and look up some of the news reports in the weeks and days leading up to the election of 2016, you'll be astonished. And how, I mean, these media reports and articles were saying there's absolutely no chance for Donald Trump to win this election. There's no path to victory, absolutely none. There's a 100% chance that Hillary will win. Now, why would these people stake their reputation on something that was so obviously wrong? Well, again, the best polling in the world is making an educated guess, a prediction, looking at likelihoods, probabilities. You don't get elected on probabilities. You get elected on the certainty of who actually comes out and votes. And if the model that the poll is using is not accurately taking account of the dynamics of the election in terms of who's going to be motivated to come out and vote, you know what? Nobody knows. We have to focus on what we do know, and that is the people we can affect. The number of people we can get information to, the number of people we can encourage to register to vote, the number of people we can talk to, call, email, contact on social media, get out to the polls. It's up to us. So with that in mind, let me wish you a good evening, give you a blessing, and we'll talk to you again in the morning. We'll have our 10 a.m. Mass on the 3rd of July. May the Lord bless you. May he give you his grace, protection upon you and your loved ones, answer all your prayers, and make you strong and faithful defenders of the unborn. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.